I think that the Green Party's vision for the future of tourism is actually heavily aligned with the tourism industry itself. And what I've seen come out of Tourism New Zealand in terms of pursuing the value over volume strategy and growing the relative value of tourism over time. And also because the tourism industry itself is so dependent in New Zealand on our natural environment, tourism is one of those few sectors in the economy where the alignment of interests between preserving the environment and developing the sector are 100% aligned. And so we're really strongly in support of the tourism industry's kind of initiatives around sustainability and value, because those things just go hand in hand.
Good stuff. And I'd imagine you, like some in the industry, don't believe enough has been done in terms of tackling the issues that affect their environment. What would you say to, or what would you do? What would you like to see more of if you were in a position to affect change when it came to protecting the environment?
Well, there's a number of areas. Obviously, the most obvious, of course, is in the domain of our rivers and water, but also there's been a lot of conversation around this in the course of the last sort of 12 to 24 months is where tourism infrastructure rubs up against the natural environment, particularly the dock estate, but not only the dock estate, and ensuring that the visitor experience is everything that it can be, because we have clearly underinvested in that. Or at least we haven't gotten ahead of the growth in the industry at sufficient pace. And so there's things that affect our international reputation, which is where the state of our rivers, our ability to hold on to our indigenous birds, many of which are endangered. And then there's the impact of the industry itself as it grows and as more visitors come over here.
And I know in order to help pay for that sort of protection, you're very keen on a tourism levy.
Yes, we are, and I think that we have probably been the leading proponent of that in Parliament. I put in a members' bill with one model, and I know that there are a number of models being thrown around. So what we've proposed is a $20 levy, $15 of which would go into the predator-free challenge. And $5 of which would go into the regional tourism infrastructure fund, because we strongly support both of those initiatives, predator free and the regional tourism infrastructure. But we were disappointed that the government, although they made quite a lot of fanfare about setting up those initiatives, didn't really put in sufficient resourcing to actually deliver on those. We've said, well, actually, you've got to make sure that you fund that. And we think that it's fair and reasonable to ask people who are actually coming over to participate in funding it. The quantum of funding from a tourism levy doesn't actually cover the whole cost. So there would still need to be, a significant taxpayer contribution as well if we're actually going to meet those challenges.
Understood. James, another issue which is closely aligned with the environment is that one of social license and whether New Zealand, particularly in smaller areas, is equipped to cope with the predicted growth, which is still going to be significant in the next few years. What would you say about issues like freedom camping and the numbers of people going to certain places which can't cope? How would the Green Party address those sort of issues?
Well, there's two things. I mean, first of all, the that portion of the tourism levy that would go into the regional's tourism infrastructure fund helps to make sure that there are sufficient facilities to deal with those expanding numbers. But ultimately, you are talking about value over volume. And at the moment, of course, the industry is actually talking about value and volume. And there is probably a point, at least in some parts of the country, where there is a cap on capacity. And I think that some of the Great Walks, for example, in summer are an example of that, where you actually have to start managing demand as well as kind of handling the supply side in terms of the facilities. I thought that the McKinsey report that was commissioned by, Christchurch Airport and Air New Zealand and a couple of other players last year was a really good piece of work. And, you know, one of the things that they proposed was a mix of a direct levy, such as the one that we're proposing, as well as a levy on camper vans and on hotel beds. And so I'm kind of interested in exploring that further. We don't have a specific policy on that, but I think that those ideas are pretty sound in terms of, you know, trying to internalise some of the costs of those portions of the industry that are currently being externalised.
All right. There's been a bit of talk from the other political parties about returning GST to the regions as another income stream. Is that something you'd consider?
Well, you know, I'm open to considering anything, but I don't think that there's a single finance minister on the planet who agrees with apportioning sales tax. I do think, and we have said this, that actually the whole area of local government financing needs serious reform. If you look at the OECD average in New Zealand, we actually spend less on local government accounts for less expenditure as a portion of GDP than virtually any other OECD country. And yet at the same time, central government continues to layer more and more responsibilities on them, but without providing them with any sufficient means of actually resourcing that. And then you get into a negative cycle because, of course, they don't meet those obligations and they get a reputation for not delivering. And then people think, oh, well, local government is useless. And so they continue to deprive them of funding and you end up in a negative spiral. And I think at the moment, the relationship between central and local government is virtually an abusive relationship. And so we've said that we would take a clean slate approach to actually how do you finance local government reform. And I know that the idea of apportioning GST is certainly one of the options that is gaining some currency in that.
Thank you, James. Actually, my very last question. If after the election and post negotiations you were Minister of Tourism, what would you, can I ask, would it be a portfolio you'd be interested in? And secondly, what would be the first thing that you would try to change or fix in any sort of way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to get into saying which job I'd like because,
sure.
You know, we don't try and do that in public in advance. But tourism is one of the areas which does rub up against the environment and where, in fact, the environment is infrastructure. You know, I keep saying this, when it comes to tourism, the environment is infrastructure. And so it is one, as our largest export industry, where, you know, I think that we can work hand in hand together, you know, in ways that develop the environment, develop the economy and develop society. So it's a real win-win-win. And I think that the first thing that I would do would be to sit down with that McKinsey report and with the industry and say, okay, you know, there is a real funding issue here. You know, what of the options that we've got on the table can we implement? Because I have actually been really disappointed that the current government hasn't taken that work. That's been led by the industry itself and been more ambitious with it.